Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 12:08. You're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. I have to say, I enjoyed talking to the guests up until now. Dr. Adams was amazing. Charles Hallman, always a fan favorite. Lawrence Ware, my new BFF. We took a look at that Boys to Men. Boys in the Hood movie turning 30 years old. Chris Tubbs just told me that you can find all of those segments on the Shaletta Show page at WCCO Radio. Check it out. Listen to them. They were great. Mm-hmm. But we are at my favorite part of the night. Morning. Because it is now Friday. 12:09. July 16th. And I am talking to one of my favorite guests. She is the smartest and sassiest and coolest lady in the Twin Cities, Jules Porter, a lawyer, a technopreneur. She's the founder of Seraph 7 Studios, a video game development company. Her company develops games with BIPOC heroes and storylines, and you know, she does that. Okay, yeah, she does that. That's cool. She's also a veteran. You know, it's just like she's got nine lives, and then she's a licensed attorney in the state of Minnesota, and she's got a BS in aeronautics and seminary theology degree. Girl, you just got a lot going on. I don't even know where to start with you. It's like, what does your to-do list look like on a regular basis? You got the gaming. You've got, the law degree. You're a veteran. You're a mentor to these young kids and gamers. You've got like five or six passions and you're working all of them. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, hello, Shaletta. It's so great.
Hey, girl.
To be here with you. Second of all, I don't know. I just feel so blessed to just be able to live such an awesome and dope life, you know, following my passions, doing what, you know, I feel like I'm called and what I'm led to do. And it's just so amazing.
You know, I have this podcasting platform, and one of the people who hosts the show is Dr. Verna Cornelia Price, right? Everybody knows Dr. Verna.
Okay.
We love Dr. Verna. She's a Twin Cities empowerment coach, human potential expert. That's what they call it now. They call it a human potential expert, best-selling author. And today's show, when I was producing, she talked about making decisions. And she said, you can't live your life based on preferences. You've got to make some decisions. And you've made decisions in your life that you're going to follow your passion and you're going to follow your heart and you're going to turn that into a profitable business. Wouldn't it just be easy to go clock in somewhere, girl?
No, that's actually harder. You know, there's so many people who just wish so many moments of their life away waiting for Friday, you know?
Yo,
Monday, they're like, I can't wait till Friday gets here, you know? And it's just, that's not the way, you know, I want to live, and that's not the way I want to feel. So the key to me is really, you know, thinking about what are my natural skills and talents? What does the community need, right, for me right now? Mm-hmm. And how can I use those natural skills and talents to meet a community need? And I think everybody should really take some time and think that through and see what they can do. Even if it starts off as a side hustle, you never know what that can turn into and how much good you can really do by uplifting others and really lifting up yourself at the same time.
And, you know, we always have you on to pick your brain about legal stuff. But I just wanted to take a moment to talk about your video game company, because the one thing that I love about it is kids see themselves as heroes in the game. My son is a gamer, and what you're doing and what you're developing is really inspiring and empowering to so many young people of color who, you know, I know when I was young and we were playing video games, nobody looked like us. And what you're doing is changing the narrative with all that. Why?
Because it's so, so important. I mean, what, 80% of black people under the age of 40 play video games? Only 3% mm-hmm. of the characters look like us, and they're generally gangsters, mobsters, and drug dealers. I mean, the biggest games that, you know, take the most time to actually develop the characters, develop the world, and give you the great experience are like the Grand Theft Auto games, where you literally are a gangster and a drug dealer. And so it's just so disappointing. And when we really think about, like, what are these messages that we continuously send, you know, telling not only our kids about what they can be, who society thinks they are, but we're also sending those messages to kids outside of our community who then grow up to be adults with these, you know, stereotypes, you know, kind of now ingrained in their mind. And so we need to remove that and put positive images out there. The other thing that's so important is when it comes to black women in video games. The Houston Chronicle a couple of years ago did this huge kind of investigative journal piece where they found, like, of the hundreds of thousands of video games that have been made over the past 50 years, only 14 playable characters were black women. Only two of those were positive and were fully clothed.
Girl, you know what? I'm going to need you to stop at fully clothed. I really am.
Yeah. And that's the other part of it, right? When I want to play video games with my nephew, not only can I not find a game where he can be a hero in that game that looks like him, but I also have to think about how are the women dressed in this game, because I don't want him to now have in his mind that it's okay for women to dress like this, or these really crazy, unrealistic body proportions, or the way that women may be objectified in certain games, you know, and it's just really a struggle. And so I think it's important also to put games out there where, one, women can be heroes. Women can be heroes that are fully clothed, wearing full armor, you know, if they're going into combat, and where they're not objectified, where they're giving value in the game for who they are, the mission that they're on, you know, the skills that they bring, the personality that they bring to the experience. So,
okay, yeah. So why not just sit at home and complain about it? That's what everybody else does. I mean, you know, we sit at home and say, you know what, this is ridiculous. This is horrible. We're just not going to play video games anymore, because you do, you know, you're a veteran and you do have a law degree and you have cases and you have work that you're doing in the legislature. So why not just, you know, just complain about it and keep it moving?
Because, you know, when you have the skills to do something more, you got to do more. What's that, speaking of, like, kind of superheroes and video games, Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. The more you know, the more skills, you know, that you have, the more is expected of you, the more that's expected of you to do. I mean, that's in the Bible, too, when they talk with the parable of the talents. You know, you got to go out there, and you're supposed to uplift, you know, other people, including yourself. And the thing is, too, you can make money doing that. It doesn't have to be a nonprofit. You can serve the community with a for-profit company and really do something that makes a difference. Like, I think, I'm sure you remember the doll test from the 1940s. I'm not sure if we've talked about this before. But it's when they gave little black girls who are about 10 years old a black doll and a white doll, and they asked these little girls, which doll's the pretty doll? Which doll's the good doll? Which doll is the smart doll? They would point to the white doll. Then when they said, which doll is the bad doll, which is the ugly doll, which is the stupid doll, they would point to the black doll. So they repeated that test in 2015. So the first test, 1940s, second test, 2015, and this was with like 10 years olds of all different races, and they asked those same questions to the exact same results. And that shows that, wow, we really haven't come that far with the imagery that we're putting out there to the kids. And that imagery is, or the message is, the darker your skin, the uglier you are, the worse you are, like you're a villain, and the less intelligent you are. And when they asked these kids, you know, because the second one was basically videotaped, when they asked the kids who were black, you know, which of these dolls do you look like, you should have just seen that crushing look in their face when they had to point to the black doll and realize they just said all these negative things about this black doll. I want to change that. I want kids, when you say, hey, which doll's the good doll, to point to the black doll. That's the smart one. That's the good one, right? It's,
yeah.
it's either one. And so it's like there's just, you know, something out there where we keep limiting black people. And we have to stop doing that. We have to show, you know, black folks in more positive lights. And video games are one way where you're, that's the closest you get to actually living through somebody else's shoes and mm-hmm. somebody else's experience. They're basically mm-hmm. nowadays like interactive movies of sorts, you know, almost like choose your own adventures, yeah. but very, very realistic. And kids are playing yeah. these games for like 60 to 100 hours per game. And so mm-hmm. I think it's so important to put more of our imagination, more of our folklore, more of our positivity, because there's so many great heroes just in the black community over so many years. Showing some of those stories, you know, in gaming.
Yeah.
In so many different ways. And then teaching kids how to, you know, make these games to also tell their own stories.
Yeah. And you know, I just remember my daughter, she went to school and she was looking for a book with a black girl about autism. She couldn't find one. And she came home and told me she wanted white skin. Because all the books at the library, the characters had white skin. So I call Robin Hickman Whitfield with Soul Touch Productions, and she does doll therapy. She has the Sharon Tate book, Loving the Skin I'm In. And, you know, she came over to the house with all these different shades and hair textures of these dolls. And she, you know, she makes her own dolls. And she and my daughter got on the sofa, and they just played with all these different textures of hair and the skin tones of the dolls. And, you know, but when she left, my daughter was so proud and her confidence was so high. And there was nothing that I could have ever done on my own. And that doll therapy, you talking about that doll reminded me of how Robin Hickman Whitfield came into our home and blessed my child. And now her confidence is through the roof. You can't tell her nothing. And, mm-hmm. and she wears her Loving the Skin I'm In shirt and the button that Robin left her so, so, so proudly. So I know how important it is for representation to matter, especially to our kids. Now, look.
That's a powerful story, and it makes a big difference.
Go ahead. we got to do the work, and you are doing the work. Now there's some work that you're doing that we got to talk about because, you know, I got to pick your legal mind. You know, I appreciate all the video games and stuff, but I need to know what's going on with Britney Spears and whether or not they can actually ban cameras from the courtroom for the trial of Kim Potter. We're talking to Jules Porter. More with her when we come back. I thought maybe I was dreaming when I read the story. I'm not in the Twin Cities. I'm on vacation in Houston with my family, but I'm checking the WCCORadio.com Facebook and Twitter pages and making sure I stay up on the news online. And I thought I was dreaming when I saw the Kim Potter, the officer who shot and killed Dante Wright, was, you know, she doesn't want cameras in the courtroom. And I thought, you know, what's the deal? Why don't we need transparency? Why don't you want the people to see what's going on inside this courtroom? I mean, it was a game changer when we watched the murder trial of Derek Chauvin, and we heard the powerful testimony of Darnella Frazier. So many people's lives were changed witnessing that video and being part daily of that courtroom proceedings, hearing the victim impact statement, watching the interaction between the attorneys and the judges. And you know, I know my life was forever changed by the video of George Floyd dying, and I know it was changed even more so watching the courtroom drama. So I need to talk to Jules Porter, local Twin Cities attorney. She is sticking around with us for the entire hour. I'm so excited. What is going on with that case? Why wouldn't you want everybody to see it? You know, when I know I didn't do something wrong, I want everybody to know. Look, it didn't go down like that. Y'all come on over here and take a look. But it looks to me like they're trying to keep the cameras out of the courtroom.
Yeah, I mean, well, part of it is probably because of how I won't say horrible, but how unrelatable Chauvin seemed during his trial. That it didn't help him at all, having it publicized. But you know, we are so used to transparency, right? And I guess maybe not so used to it, but we're getting more and more used to it with the courts. Because one thing about the courts is like the access to justice, understanding what's going on in the courtroom, not having it, you know, like behind such kind of a barrier in so many ways. allowing it, making it more easy for the public to see what's going on, access it, to ask questions, to understand the process, I think is extremely important. However, the issue is we do have these things called court rules. And here in the state of Minnesota, it's very rare that televisions are actually allowed in the courtroom. I know we all think back to, like, O.J. Simpson, right? We might even think about Zimmerman, who killed Trayvon Martin, and how his trial was publicized, and not realizing just how rare that actually is, though, in the state of Minnesota. So here in Minnesota, generally for TVs to be allowed within the courtroom, both sides have to agree. They kind of have to consent to it. Now, for the Chauvin trial, both parties did not consent to it. Chauvin didn't want TVs in the courtroom, but Judge Cahill overrode that because of COVID, right? So because of COVID, now you can't have so many people in the gallery like you could, before COVID. So that's why televisions were allowed. However, that decision is kind of being reviewed by kind of like a committee that was put together by the Minnesota Supreme Court to just kind of, look into that and see if that was the right call. So it is very rare. And, in order to have televisions, which I think was so important for the Chauvin trial, because all of it was so public and so televised from the beginning, it was extremely important. And I think it might have actually staved off, even more protest here, being able to see for ourselves what's going on, to watch it, to talk about it, and to unpack things kind of at the end of each day. So
now,
we'll see.
Can this be something that is just routine? I mean, what is so sacred about, nothing is sacred anymore. Politics used to be sacred. The presidential oath used to be sacred. So much was sacred. And I know our court system is held in such high esteem. But why can't we just have cameras in every courtroom where people can tune in and watch so that we can know what is going on? Our tax dollars are paying for most of what is going on at the courthouse. And so I just don't understand why we can't have access to what is happening in our judicial system.
I mean, yeah, we definitely are in a new world, right? I mean, because of COVID also, now all of our courtrooms basically have cameras in there because they had to basically hold Zoom hearings during the pandemic. There's a few issues. So usually the defendants will argue, something like, hey, it's going to be harder for witnesses who want to be supportive of the defendant to come in and be supportive. Right now they're going to have even more public pressure, maybe even threats if they come in and give their testimony, because now they're so much more visible. So beyond people just being able to see, they always have that the artist who, draws the people in the courtroom. So besides you being able to see that and reading the transcript, you don't really get to see the people's testimony kind of in action in a lot of the courtrooms. And they kind of say, it's intimidating when the public is able to see this thing in real time. But on the flip side of that, there's been quite a few defendants, such as O.J. Simpson and Zimmerman, like I mentioned before, who were found not guilty at the end of their trials that were highly publicized. So, that's not that valid, I think, of a concern. I think Kim Potter, her attorneys tried to say that, all of the rights in the courtroom are for the defendant and not necessarily for the victim, right? So they're saying that the right to a jury trial, the rights, the Sixth Amendment rights, the right to confront witnesses, these are all rights that the defendant has, not necessarily rights that the victim has. I mean, we'll see about what the court says about that. That's an interesting way of trying to put it, because, the court, the judges, kind of role is to ensure the rights of both the state and of the defendant are protected throughout the court proceeding. So it was kind of, when I saw that was kind of weird, but we'll see how the court responds.
Well, I can't wait to hear what the ruling will be, and I know that it will have an impact not just on this case, but on more cases to follow. We're continuing our conversation with Jules Porter. When we come back, I want to talk about this Britney Spears conservatorship. It has been in the national news for the past few months, and things have ramped up in the past couple of weeks with new attorneys, and I need to figure out what a conservatorship is and why she can't just be a bad parent and trick off the rest of her money like everybody else in life. Why is her dad allowed to have dominion over her life and over her finances and even over her body? We'll have that conversation next. I heard that weather forecast. I heard what I said. And I feel so bad for our farmers. They need rain, but we've got a stretch of bright, hot, and humid weather ahead. There is not like even a drip drop of rain in the forecast. And that's going to be, you know, great for folks who want to get outdoors and, you know, play in the backyard with your kids or go up to the cabin and hang out and do some water sports, you know. Get on your pontoon, go fishing with your family. That's going to be great. But our farmers really need that rain. So I don't know where you are in your prayer life, but I'm going to need y'all to join me in praying for our farmers because we need some rain. They are experiencing a record drought and, you know, they're going to lose their crops. And this is how they make their living. And so to see this forecast, while it's going to be beautiful for my kids, I can't help but think about my friends, like the ones who live directly across the street from me, who have acres and acres of corn in Cottage Grove that they're trying to grow, not just to feed our community, but to feed their own family with the profits. And they're not going to be able to do that if this rain does not come. We're continuing our conversation with Jules Porter, local Twin Cities attorney and technopreneur. She is here with me and will be here the entire hour. And that is so much fun because I get to pick her intelligent legal mind and she can break some things down for me that when I read, I just don't understand. Jules, I'm not even going to pretend. You know, some people read stuff and they're like, oh, okay, great. And then they walk away and they don't know what the hell they just read or heard because, you know, that's not their area of expertise. And so legally, I don't understand what's going on with this Britney Spears thing, but I want to because it just sounds so wrong. So she's been under the conservatorship of her dad for decades, and she wants out. She's saying that she can take care of herself. She's an adult woman. And when you start hearing and reading about, you know, everything that he has control over, it's pretty frightening that mm-hmm. something like this can happen. Like he, you know, she's got an IUD. She can't have kids. You know, he has control of her money. She has to go to him and get permission. And she's a grown ass woman. And this is money that she made. And I'm like, they got NBA players who are horrible parents who have tricked off hundreds of millions of dollars and ain't nobody plan an IUD in them and make them have a conservatorship. Why is it that this woman can't be a bad parent and trick off her own damn money if she wants to?
That's a question that a lot of people have. I don't know if you're a Black Mirror fan, but there was a episode of Black Mirror called Ashley O that a lot of people are comparing to the Britney Spears situation. So if you haven't seen it, that's probably some good watching. But yeah, no, here in Minnesota, we call conservatorships guardianships. In California, they have conservatorship as the blanket term for both what we would consider a guardianship and what we in Minnesota would consider a conservatorship. So a guardianship here in Minnesota is basically somebody else has guardianship or basically has power, control, decision-making authority over an individual who is called, you know, the ward. A conservatorship in Minnesota is basically having power, control over the person's finances. The guardianship specifically goes to the person's body. And yeah, that sounds very, very bad and very horrible. But I think a lot of people need to really realize how much power that person does have, especially if there isn't an agreement at the beginning to limit the guardianship in certain ways. The person who's your guardian can tell you that you can't vote. They can tell you that you can't get married. They can tell you, they can stop you from seeing a significant other, a family member. Basically tell you what you can and can't eat. They can determine how often you get to have your groceries replenished in your house. I mean, there's just, it goes on and on and on and on. And so it's no small thing if a person applies for guardianship over somebody else, and that person who, you know, is the person who somebody's applying against them for the guardianship may not understand everything that's going on at the time, may not understand all the rights they're giving up if they agree to it. And so it's really in everybody's best interest that if you're a person, you're getting older, you think that you may need a family member or somebody that you really trust to make important decisions for you, mm-hmm. then while you still have kind of your mental capacity and in your right mind, it's really important to get down in paper, this is the specific type of decisions that you can make for me, and no more. And it might also be good, like, for instance, if somebody has a stroke, but that's a common situation. A person has a stroke, now they need a guardian. But they might actually, over the years, kind of regain some of their cognitive function and no longer need a guardianship. But it's so hard to get out of once you're in it, if it's not limited in the beginning.
Okay. And that's what she's having a problem with. And that's why everybody's like free Britney on the hashtag, because it's been going on for so long. And, you know, she feels so trapped, and I feel so bad for her, because I'm thinking, my God, what does this woman have to do to be free? It's like modern day. To me, it's like modern day slavery, Jules.
You could compare to that in some situations. Yeah, if you have, you know, a guardian that does not have your best interest, who's maybe looking at your money, it can be extremely horrible. And especially if you're like Brittany, you don't have an attorney that you chose or that, you know, was kind of appointed for your best interest. It can be very, very difficult. Or even if they were in the beginning, but maybe the relationship has soured, it can also be difficult to get a new attorney appointed. It's tough. And of course, like, because so much of the guardianship that deals with mental health, a lot of that is not public. So we don't really know what exactly mental health diagnoses Brittany had at the beginning, whether she still has that, what's going on. But like you mentioned before, there are many people that have some mental health issues that are still raising kids. There's many people that have, you know, been bankrupt in their lives. I mean, one of my favorite singers, Toni Braxton, at a time went bankrupt, but nobody was trying to get guardianship over Toni Braxton.
Her, right, and take over her finances. And, you know, you think about all these athletes, Ray Lewis, and, you know, so many other athletes who, you know, you just look, turn on ESPN and look at the 30 for 30, the hundreds of millions of dollars these guys have blown through, and all the kids. Sean Kemp got, 19 kids, and he ain't taking care of none of them, and ain't nobody trying to make him have, a vasectomy. You know, it's such a double standard when it comes to women. Uh-huh. And I think that is so at play right now with, you know, when we start talking about Britney Spears and the limitations that they've put on this woman's life.
Yeah, and it was really interesting. Was that about 3 weeks ago now, when the judge did not remove her father from the conservatorship? I think if that was to occur in Minnesota, of course, we don't have all the underlying facts of what the mental health issue is or any of these things. But here in Minnesota, I think a court would have most likely allowed a new conservator to oversee it. They may not have gotten rid of the conservatorship, but they definitely would have made some shifts. So it's just, it's really, really interesting. And one thing that I also thought was interesting is how basically Britney is above politics. She has basically Democrats, Republicans, everybody wearing their free Britney shirts. Okay, and but if her fans are a big part of, you know, why this has been, you know, such news for even the past like year or beyond, because, you know, there were a couple documentaries and all these things that have kind of built up this momentum for her. So shout out to all the Britney fans.
Yeah. And you know, I just, right. I need somebody like to have my back like that. But you know, the thing is that I understand about, you know, taking care of somebody. You know, my father-in-law came to live with us, for 5 years. You know, he's in his late 70s at the time, early 80s. And, you know, there were some decisions that we had to make for him, you know, with dementia. And so, you know, he couldn't decide, you know, he just didn't want to go to the doctor. You know, well, yeah, you got to go to the doctor, and you got to take this medicine, and you got to see these professionals. And so I'm not sitting here saying that I don't understand how the process works. I don't want people to think that, because I lived it for 5 years when my father-in-law lived with us, making some hard decisions for someone who was incapable of making the decisions for himself to keep him well and healthy and strong. And you know, he is thriving because of that. But at the same time, like you said, once he got better, he started making decisions on his own. You know, mm-hmm. once he got better and you know, he got his mental faculties about him, he was able to decide, well, I want to go, you know, over here, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And it was safe. Now, you can't drive, Papa. We're going to take your keys. But, you know, but we understand that there's some things that you want to do, and here is your money now. You know, you're not going to give it away to the first telemarketer who calls. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just to have a no end date in sight for this woman when she is clearly saying, help me, free me. I need to get out of this. This is not where I want to be. And I feel like a slave. It's so troubling to see.
I really look forward to Brittany telling, you know, her story. You know, yeah. and kind of letting yeah. us know, because, man, this has really gone on for so long. You know, I really yeah. look forward to hearing what she has to say about it beyond, you know, the heartbreaking testimony that yeah. she shared.
And you know what? I think it's going to I think it's got to be happening to somebody else. You know, and I'm glad that she's talking about it, because, you know, you just don't want to see anybody going through something like this. And I'm sure that they may have even started out with good intentions in her case. But, you know, if you're going to let all these NBA players and NFL players and baseball players trick off their money and not be good parents and not require them to give vasectomies and take control over their money and tell them when they can play ball and when they can't and where to live and what friends to have, then you need to just let Brittany make her own mistakes and take care of her grown-ass woman life.
In many ways, making mistakes, you know, is a part of life. I mean, there's a lot of irresponsible people out there that,
right?
you know, that don't need a guardianship. Yeah, I think something kind of definitely went wrong, especially when they talked about a little bit how much, you know, her father was getting paid from her own money and how much of an allowance they were actually kind of giving Brittany to live off of. And it's frustrating because she was the one, you know, as she said, she was choreographing things, she was working with dancers, you know, she was, you know, running these shows and doing the things that she needed to do. She didn't understand why she still had to be under this guardianship if she can clearly direct people and do her job and make money. So,
well, yeah, there's more to come. I mean, stay tuned and stick around, because this train is just pulling out of the station. Now, we got one more segment, and when we come back, I want to talk about Richard Sherman, because this guy graduated from Stanford, and, you know, he is a smart dude, and he's played football with passion and heart, and, you know, he was the face of Dr. Dre's Beats commercials, and now he is in the news for something that is not so good. We'll talk about that with Jules next. I was surprised. I ain't gonna lie. It's 12:49. When I saw the story about Stanford graduate Richard Sherman and domestic violence charges, and initially he was being held without bail, and then they released him from jail without bail with conditions. Free agent cornerback released from jail without bail yesterday. Following his arrest on suspicion of trying to break into his in-laws' home northeast of Seattle, he's been charged with misdemeanor and gross misdemeanor, charges of criminal trespass in the second degree, malicious mischief in the third degree, both carrying domestic violence designations, and misdemeanor charges of resisting arrest and driving under the influence. Now, Jules Porter is with us, local Twin Cities attorney and tech entrepreneur. Jules, this one had me like flipping, like my head was spinning, because in one minute they were saying, no, he's, you know, facing domestic violence charges and he's going to be held without bail. And then the next minute somebody said, okay, and these are legitimate stories. Okay, the bail, they're going to set it at $10,000. And then the next thing is no bail with restrictions. How do we go from somebody being held in jail without bail to getting out of jail with no bail? Is it because he's a superstar and they get special treatment, or is it circumstances?
Well, sometimes you see this if a person is intoxicated, highly intoxicated when they come in. They could even be intoxicated when it comes time for them to see the judge. They're still drunk or they're still high or whatever it is. So the judge isn't going to be likely to release them while they're still under the influence of something. So it could have just been once he sobered up, then his lawyer was able to get him out of there. Richard Sherman, the thing is like, just like you were surprised, I was surprised. I'm a big football fan, and so many people just in the football world were surprised, because Richard Sherman, he is a very good trash talker, but he is also kind of a person that's highly respected in the NFL by a lot of people. He doesn't get into trouble. He's had a clean, record. He's kind of a leader on the field.
Graduated from college. It wasn't just he was going to college to, play football. He actually has a degree from Stanford,
And he's a mentor in the community. He gives back. He gives his time to the community. So, this one is, I mean, it hurts a little bit. It's disappointing, but, But it also teaches you so many valuable lessons, all right? If you have as much money as a football player, you got to have that friend that you can call on when you're upset at 3 a.m. that can help talk
Girl.
You down, you know?
Okay.
You got to have some sleeping pills on the side in case you just need to knock it out and wake up the next day, right? Or feeling in a better mind or something like that. It's really a bizarre story. I think it was something like he was driving, he hit a barrier, then he drove a little bit of a ways on tires that were basically flat, got out. I guess I don't know if he walked or Ubered or how he got to the in-laws' house. And then, the family teams released the video of, did you see the video? I just kind of watched that a bit earlier today. But I was like, man, they released this video of him walking up to the house, kind of knocking on the door, getting upset. But of course, some of the questions are, why was he that upset? But it was weird. I actually read the comments. You're usually not supposed to read the comments.
Why are you reading the comments? You're not supposed to read the comments.
The comments were hilarious, right? The comments were talking about, what kind of door is that that stood up to that abuse that Richard Sherman gave that door? So whoever made whatever door company that is, they should probably put out some
kind of... Baby, I need that all over my house. And look, this is the thing. We have kids that like to escape, and the little doors that we bought, and we bought new doors to keep the kids in the house safe. And we can't even, the 5 and 6 and 7 year old, they're like getting out of the house. They're at the neighbor's house. And we think, we just bought these damn doors. They got combination locks on them. How'd y'all get out here? it's just amazing. But and he was doing the most. But this is the thing. There must be a lot of family drama if they release the video. I was just like, did they put this? They had to put it out there. It's their video. Okay. It's not the neighbor's video. It's their video. And to have them put that out there just lets me know that family is absolutely fractured. And you hate to see that. You really do.
Yeah, and they might be getting some kind of threats, like I said, because, Sherman, he's very popular, he has a very good reputation, so they might have been getting some kind of threats and felt inclined to release the video to say, hey, we really were, afraid or, whatever it is, but, that's really just too bad, and I know this is probably a time in his life where he might be a little bit, down and just maybe not happy with where his career is, but you hate to see things like this occur.
Yeah, you do. Well, girl, I have just had a ball hanging out with you. I love it. I love it when you hang out with me because I'm so energized. I'm informed. I'm educated. And it's entertaining. You just do it all. Jules Porter, local Twin Cities attorney, tech entrepreneur. You got to give everybody your website so they'll know where to go to find you.
Oh, man. All right. You got to go to www., it's Seraph, Seraph, studios.com. So Seraph7studios.com.
Girl, you are amazing. I love you. Thank you for hanging with me tonight on Late Night.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.